Sexy and Van City may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM CITR. You've landed in Sexy and Van City Radio 101.9 FM on CITR. Or maybe you could be one of our podcast listeners listening to this long after. But hopefully you're with us tonight and we're really glad to have you. So we are talking about all things Sexy in Van City. And we had a very sexy man come to our city not that long ago to talk about his new book. And all of you listeners out there, I know we talk constantly about the fact that why are men indifferent? Why women and women are so different in Vancouver? Well, I've got the man who coined the phrase and wrote the book, Men are from Mars, Women are from Venus. And we're going to be chatting about his latest book. And I'm very excited to have Mr. Dr. John Gray on the show. He is the best-selling relationship author of all time, and including the classic, which we were just chatting about, Men Are from Mars, Women Are from Venus. And it's been called the number one best-selling book of the last decade. And I'm pretty excited about having him on the show. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks so much. It's a real pleasure.
Thank you. So I'm sorry I missed you when you were in town not that long ago.
Well, that would have been nice. That weather was great, too.
I heard it was really good.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit, how has things changed in the last decade or so in terms of of relationships in terms of men and women, because you've written 16 books across that span, and there's been a lot of information, and I'm really excited. So tell me a little bit about how things have evolved.
Well, I didn't think I was going to write another book on relationships, and then about 8 years ago, UCLA in California, some researchers discovered that on a hormonal level, women cope with stress differently than men. And the hormonal oxytocin, or the hormone oxytocin, which is responsible for contractions and breastfeeding, but then they discovered it was responsible for sexual response in women, as well as climax. They found that that hormone is also responsible for lowering stress levels in women. And that's real significant, because too much of that hormone, while it's wonderful for women, actually makes men kind of sleepy. So the things that actually help lower stress for women sometimes are not what men are drawn to, at least for long periods of time.
And that makes sense, which makes them a little bit more Venus.
That's right. If they become too Venus, then they get a little sleepy. I mean, since this show's about sex, it's the time when we men experience the most oxytocin is at the time of climax, and then men go right to sleep, whereas women could continue to share, could talk, could continue on. As long as he's got the juice, she'll keep going. But once he's done, everything's done.
And he is done. I've told a lot of our listeners it's not the best time. Is it true, fact or fiction, that men's bodies after ejaculation actually produce 10 times the amount of oxytocin than women's bodies?
You know, I haven't heard that, so
okay.
I don't know that. But I know it has a much bigger, a different effect on men. Generally speaking, men and women have the same amount of oxytocin, except that under stress, women run out of it very quickly because it's used to help her cope with stress. Whereas for men, the hormone that men need to cope with stress is testosterone, which has to do with sexual desire. And testosterone, but many other things as well. And testosterone, when a man has low testosterone, his stress levels will tend to be chronically high. This is why as men age, if their testosterone levels decrease, then they lose that sort of wonderful romantic warmth. They become kind of irritable and grumpy and rigid, which I hear is why many women, you know, in their 50s and 60s, if they're divorced, they want to be with younger men. It's particularly because younger men have the testosterone.
I can see that. That would make a lot of sense. In terms of living in a fast food world where, and like, I just think of it just with Facebook, we've got Twitter, a lot of things thrown at us, so we're on all the time. I'd almost say that this is so valuable right now, especially because our stress levels are so high. Like, it's just so important just to take care of ourselves. And it was interesting because I've been reading your book, and I found it really interesting because this weekend I went and saw Sex and the City 2. And my friends were laughing at me because while I was watching the movie, because in the movie, it basically for their second anniversary, Big buys Carrie a flat screen, really huge, big TV to go in their bedroom. And it just started making me talk, when I talked to my girlfriends about it afterwards, I'm like, you so have to read John's book because it talks about this, like about the fact, like why are guys so interested in television? And there's a scene in there where she actually is changing in front of the television and trying to get his attention. And he keeps trying to look around her as opposed to looking at her, taking her clothes off.
Right, right. That's kind of an old joke. Heard that on Oprah about 10
Did
years
you?
Ago, where she says, I'm buck naked and he doesn't even notice, he's watching TV. Well, the explanation there is that, you know, the reason I wrote this book is because this new research helped explain so many of the ideas I put in my other books, and also brought out new ideas, new insights about our relationships. But the whole idea of men going to their cave, after a stressful day, a man tends to want to just pull away on his own and disconnect. And, you know, it's important that women understand this. Otherwise, they'll tend to take it personally. Like, you know, like he doesn't want to spend time with her. He's not interested in her. When really, he just needs to pull away for himself. And what's actually happening at that time is in disengaging from relationship, he is focused, his body is focused on rebuilding testosterone. And they found that when a man is sitting down, watching TV, watching a sporting event on TV, that his hormone testosterone is dramatically increasing. He's literally rebuilding his testosterone levels after a long day to help him cope with stress. And if he doesn't, well, and if he's looking at a big screen TV, then it happens even faster.
Why is that? You mentioned that size does matter, so. In more ways than one.
Well, what's happening with the TV set is its colors, its change, its brightness, all these images stimulate a part of the brain, which for a man is connected to the fight-or-flight center. It's the amygdala is twice as big in a man, and in a man's brain, it's wired up to the action cortex and the visual cortex.
Okay.
And if there's action, which would be a football game, or if there's something new happening, which is a change, if there's fast change, then that's also stimulating the action center. Or if there's lots of colors or brightness or light, that stimulates the visual cortex. And those both those sides of the brain are connected to the fight-or-flight center, which releases a brain chemical called dopamine. Now, dopamine is the brain chemical that increases in both men and women when they're in love. It also increases when we're on cocaine. It also increases when there's an emergency. And, you know, those are going to produce high levels of dopamine. And for men, when dopamine levels are being stimulated, his testosterone will be the production of testosterone will go up. So it's like if there's a fire, I suddenly need to, you know, have more testosterone, and it rises up. So if a man's relaxing, and at the same time his dopamine levels are being stimulated, a la sitting on a couch, his muscles are relaxing, but he's doing something that's stimulating him. Entertainment generally does that, or sex does that. He's rebuilding his testosterone levels. And it's important that men have that time. And what's also important is that women are under enough stress in life today, and if she's in a relationship with him and he's in his cave and she doesn't understand this, then she's going to misinterpret it and think, well, he doesn't care about me, he's not interested in me, I'm not important to him, he doesn't want to help me, why doesn't he pitch in, what does he think he is, you know, who does he think I am, my servant, you know, all those kinds of thoughts can run through her mind, and that then causes more stress in her. Rather than understanding this is what he's doing to cope with stress, and she has a different mode of operation, and if she understands that mode, then she can actually get his support to help her lower stress, and as well, she can feel supported to do the things that will help her cope with stress, because right now, women are, the new tests have shown, this is the new research in this last few years, that women's stress levels are twice as high as men's during the day, and at night they double again. So this is like this is all just recent, and it's because of our fast lifestyles you were talking before.
Yeah, I've never thought the fast food culture is good for us, and definitely. And sometimes I've questioned in terms of how roles for men and women have evolved over time, because we had very defined roles. Like if you go back to, like, say, the 1940s or so, it was very, very specific. But now with women, you know, in the 80s, they're calling it the superwoman syndrome and things like that, where we do try and do everything. It's really stressful, and especially now, I know for myself, my BlackBerry goes off constantly. So,
well, here's the thing. When you say doing everything, the 40s relationship, the 50s relationship that I saw with my parents when I was growing up, my mother did do it all in her world. Women's brains are designed differently than men's, and this is proven now with brain scans. If you put a woman and a man in a situation of moderate stress, you'll see 8 times more blood flow in the woman's brain than a man's brain. She really has a much stronger reaction to change and risk and danger and making decisions. And it used to be that these roles that women had were ones of routine and nurturing, which would stimulate a lot of oxytocin, and that would lower her stress levels. That would keep her brain from being overly stimulated. Her brain is much more easily stimulated. And now society is overstimulating us with information. Women, you know, they carry that around. You know, there's an old saying about women, they never forget. It's because their brains are really way more active, and now they got many, many more things to never forget. Mm-hmm. And this causes, you know, chronic stress. And what can counteract that is stimulating the oxytocin. But I love what you're talking about in terms of the, you know, the different roles that we've played, so to speak. You know, there were men's roles and women's roles, and we see them very clearly in the 50s and mm-hmm. 40s. You can go back into indigenous cultures and you'll see them as well. I mean, they've been around for thousands of years, mm-hmm. these roles, which are pretty consistent. They're in most cultures around the world, where women were doing more of the nurturing things and men were doing more of the jobs that required danger, risk. They were more expendable. They're more of a sacrifice of the comforts of life. Mm-hmm. And that was, men were fine with that as long as they, you know, they came home, and women really, really appreciated men for that. So you've got sort of a different wiring, but men's wiring is such in their brain that they work really hard, or if they work really hard, at the end of the day, their brain really turns off. Hmm. Whereas women who are designed to make babies, whether they have babies or not, their brains just don't turn off like men's. They stay active throughout the night. Now, if there's an emergency, a man's brain will go off, and that means if he's out on a date or if he's, you know, working at night or something. But other than that, his brain just sort of shuts down at night to rebuild, to reboot. Mm-hmm. Whereas she, her brain can continue on and on and on and on. And for her, the way she copes with that, the exhaustion is not by stopping, but by processing information while moving. So, for example, women can talk about what's bothering them. Talking stimulates oxytocin, also releases a brain chemical called serotonin, and that relaxes her brain. Whereas for a man, if he had that much stress, talking would be good, but usually he's able to cope best with stress by doing what men have done for thousands of years, which is to stop talking and relax and actually not think about much. So often women are saying, you know, what are you thinking? He says nothing. She doesn't believe him because her brain is busy all the time. So that was all in response to your saying that, you know, women kind of do it all. Well, women have always done it all, but they did it all in a world which was stimulating oxytocin.
And so hence supported them.
That's right. And suddenly when she's in a world that stimulates testosterone, which is the world, the work world, the world we live in, which is kind of, which is filled with urgencies and emergencies and change and not a lot of routine and not a lot of nurturing, but more about money and capitalism, all that. That stimulates testosterone, which is not bad for women. It feels good to women, but it doesn't lower her stress levels. So most of the day, her stress levels are just getting higher and higher and staying high. And this has a lot of wear and tear on her body. It depletes her of oxytocin, which then depletes her of her ability to enjoy her life, as well as dramatically it interferes with her ability to enjoy sex. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is why, you know, sex has become much more important today for both men and women, because sex really can be a great way to reduce stress. Mm-hmm. But we have to a certain extent, find other ways to lower the stress to a certain point, you know, where she has enough oxytocin to keep her stress levels at a certain point. Then oxytocin levels can go to a higher point, and she can enjoy sex, which is very rejuvenating to her body, as well as to a man's.
And it makes a man feel good, too, just in terms of his sense of self-esteem.
Oh, huge, huge. But, you know, what's even more dramatic than that is this new research on men and their testosterone levels. When men are having regular sex, they have good, healthy testosterone levels.
Hmm.
You need testosterone to be interested in sex, but sex in itself and the opportunity to have sex will stimulate testosterone levels to rebuild. So you need it to do it, but then doing it makes you create more testosterone. And men who, as they age, their testosterone levels start to drop.
Hmm.
They don't have to, but that the average male today, that's what's going on. His testosterone levels are dropping, and his interest in sex becomes less. And as that happens, his chance of heart attack dramatically goes up. His chance of prostate cancer dramatically goes up. Basically speaking, men who have healthy sex lives, regular sex, and healthy testosterone levels don't get heart attacks and don't get prostate cancer. It's just very rare. Whereas they found that men over 50 who have sex 2 to 3 times a week have a dramatically low rate of heart disease, autoimmune diseases, obesity, cancer, all those things. They're much healthier, and on average they live 50% longer over 50 years old than those who don't have sex 2 to 3 times a week. So this is like very significant for men's health.
It's huge. I remember as a child actually growing up where I was actually raised to believe that my dad was actually going to die before my mother because of the fact he worked a high-stress job and everything. So it's interesting with that.
Well, that's starting to reverse now. Mm-hmm. It actually hasn't, you know, it takes a while before we age and die. This is just this last generation that's being affected by this. And, you know, they've got a good 20 years before everybody starts dying. Mm-hmm. And what they're expecting now is it's already about equal, and it's going to start turning into more women dying earlier than men because of this, the higher levels of stress that women are experiencing. Because just having elevated cortisol levels, one of the first signs of that we see, which is very common in our society today, mm-hmm. is weight gain, and that's a sign of hormonal imbalance. Another one is painful menstrual cycle, PMS, mm-hmm. that's for younger women. And as women are getting in their 40s, the premenopausal symptoms, menopausal symptoms, postmenopausal symptoms, all of these symptoms that are becoming very common today were not a part of life back in the early part of this century. In my mother's generation, she didn't have these kinds of symptoms. If you go to indigenous cultures right now in the world, women don't have these symptoms. They're occasional, but they're signs of sickness and weakness. And our whole society is plagued with it now, and it is the result of adrenal fatigue. Adrenal is the fight-or-flight center. So mm-hmm. if you're under lots of stress, then you're not going to, you're producing cortisol all the time. For women, that throws their hormonal balance off and causes a deficiency of hormones. For men, it causes low testosterone. These are one of the major contributors to hormonal imbalance. It's on a psychological level. It affects us physiologically with chronic cortisol levels, depletes the body of something called DHEA, and it's the mother hormone that makes all the other hormones.
Hmm.
So it's like a crisis, and you know, women now think that they have to go out and take hormones as a way to be healthy, when really, as I point out in my book, that's why I wrote the book. I mean, I just feel like people need to have this information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's an option here. The option is get to the root cause of the problem, which is your adrenal exhaustion, and reverse it, turn it around. And you can if you start making lifestyle choices that are healthy, according to stimulating oxytocin for women and stimulating testosterone for men. And on a behavioral level, one of those things is creating romance, creating fulfilling, satisfying sex for both men and women actually has one of the most beneficial health ingredients there are.
For both.
But the other side of it is, the physiological side of it is, what we eat is, I mean, literally the food we're putting in our body every day also causes stress. Now, that's the odd thing. The foods often we like the most, you know, soft drinks and cakes and cookies and desserts and chocolates and bread and rice, all these processed carbohydrate foods, mm-hmm. even juices and fruits, if it's fruit juice, these things will cause the blood sugar to spike.
Mm-hmm.
And every time your blood sugar spikes, it will go up and it will go down, and that's called fluctuating blood sugar levels. And fluctuating blood sugar levels cause fluctuating cortisol levels. And cortisol is the stress hormone. So, you know, about 20 times a day, it's as if you've just been chased by a bear and your life was threatened. That's what a fluctuation of cortisol is like.
Wow.
And this is almost everybody who's tested on these 24-hour cycles.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of our diet, even if they're having a peaceful, relaxed day, their body's going to be going through this kind of roller coaster of cortisol because of the high amount of processed carbohydrates we're eating in our diet. And this is very unusual in terms of history. So not only have our roles changed, which causes more stress to women,
mm-hmm.
but what we put in our food bodies is enormously different. And with some researchers say is it's, you look at the amount of consumed sugar or products that have sugar in them, and it's 100 times more we're eating today than we did 100 years ago. So that's a huge difference.
That's a tremendous difference.
Yeah. It's almost your weight. I mean, if I'm 150 pounds, I eat about 150 pounds of sugar a year. That's the average. It's when you understand the way the brain works and the body works, it's causing all, it's one of the major causes of all the problems we have today. But simply put, it causes tiredness. It causes lack of interest in sex.
Mm-hmm.
It causes broken sleep. It causes low hormones. It causes fluctuating moods. And there are physical things we can do, even if we're not going to make dramatic changes in our diet.
I was just going to ask, what are some of the things we can do? I mean, Vancouver's a yoga town, for example, so a lot of us do a lot of breath work and things like that. We try and eat healthy. A lot of us do anyway. But even still, you've got some great tips in your book, and I'd love for you to share some of what you'd recommend to people.
Well, since we mentioned yoga, I've been doing yoga since I was 3 years old, and I taught yoga in my 20s. I actually did a yoga video back when I was 21, and that was back in 1972, which was, it was actually the first yoga video on planet Earth.
I was just going to say, so I'd love for you to pop that up on YouTube, because I will link that to my site so people can see it.
But anyway, that was quite a young guy then. And when I was doing yoga, it was in India, and for thousands of years, yoga was particularly practiced by men. And now more women do it. And the difference there is when yoga is practiced by men, it was actually kind of their cave time, and they did it alone. But for women, usually the benefit of yoga, or the best benefit of yoga, of course, it's relaxing, it's routine. But done in a group, it's going to have the maximum oxytocin production. I just want to toss it in there. Anytime women can be with other women doing something in harmony, those are big oxytocin stimulators. Back to the question, which is a good one, half my book is all about the superfoods, foods from different cultures that have been known for hundreds and sometimes thousands of years to have very beneficial effect on blood sugar levels, and on our adrenal function, on hormone production, and on brain function. So, you know, some of those foods, you know, one of the most important was actually, it's most important because it handles blood sugar, because I see again and again women feeling so much stress, and one of the major causes of it is just these big crashes in blood sugar. Because women's bodies are different from men's in this way as well, is that women tends to fluctuate more, and when blood sugar drops, it tends to drop much further.
And that is one thing I love, by the way, which my boyfriend actually picked up on that this weekend when I mentioned I was hungry. And he's like, okay, I'm going to actually follow John's advice, and let's go and stop and get you something to eat now.
That's right. I tell men it's a medical emergency if a woman even hints that she's hungry. Code blue alert. Get her food.
So true.
Because you have to have the brain cannot store sugar, so the brain can only get its sugar through the blood. Mm-hmm. And if the blood runs low in sugar, then the brain runs out, and it just can't make the brain chemicals without the fuel. So there's other ingredients that are necessary, but without the fuel, nothing happens. So you want to keep that blood sugar up. And one of the things that can do it, this was discovered thousands of years ago by Buddhist monks.
Mm.
And what they discovered is a root called konjac root, which they would make noodles out of. And these konjac noodles have a unique characteristic in that they're very fibrous and they absorb water. So they would swell up in water, and in your stomach, you drink them. They put them in a soup, and the noodles would absorb all of the water in the stomach, and the carbohydrate would slowly release into the bloodstream. And this would allow them to experience long meditations without becoming agitated, because their blood sugar was stable the whole time. And actually, it was Canadian researchers who discovered that if you mix konjac root with xanthan gum and alginate, that you increase the potency of this 3 to 5 times more. And that's a product that's available. It's a technical term for it is I forget how to say it.
It's okay. You can say the initials.
Something like that. But the word is PGX. And almost every health food store now carries it. When I was in Vancouver, I saw it all over the place. It's a PGX. And you take it before a meal, and you take like 3 capsules or 4 capsules with a whole glass of water, ideally 20 minutes before a meal. And then even if your meal's not like a perfectly healthy meal, but it has some carbohydrates in it, some, you know, mashed potatoes or potato or got, you know, some dessert or whatever, it's not going to cause your blood sugar to spike. And that is so important. And if you do that, you know, I did it when I first heard about it a few years ago. I did it for 3 months, just every single meal I did it. And it completely reversed in me what is called today insulin resistance. It's the precursor to diabetes. That's very common today. When people get older, they start feeling tired after a meal, and they start feeling hungry a few hours after a meal, or they never get that feeling of fullness.
I've always called that food coma, and
yeah,
it's
the
usually
food
after
coma.
Pasta.
Yeah, the food coma. People have to know that that's the precursor to diabetes. I mean, it's really a very serious thing, and I was able to reverse that in 3 months. I mean, I was amazed. I suddenly remembered what it was like to be a kid where you'd eat a meal and you'd have tons of energy for hours, which is the way it should be. Food shouldn't make us tired.
That's true, because it's like putting gas in the engine.
That's right. That's what it should be like. But if we have insulin resistance, then basically the blood sugar causes neural damage to our brain. It spikes. It goes really high. The insulin resistance prevents sugar from being absorbed into the cells. And suddenly there's an excess amount of blood sugar in the blood, and it causes neural damage. Literally, brain cells are dying when you're having one of those food comas.
Wow.
And it's something we need to avoid if we can. And konjac root, which you can get as PGX, will do it. I mean, something for me which is really kind of fun is, because, you know, one of the things that can help romance is a little wine. Wine sort of helps us to activate what's called the GABA receptor sites in the brain. And GABA is very relaxing and uninhibited and fun, wants to have fun and not think business. And alcohol activates that GABA receptor. But for over 50% of men, and for almost all women, wine will also cause drowsiness at certain points.
Sorry, as I laugh. Yeah, I'm usually one of those where it's like, hi, honey, hi, honey, hi, honey.
Right, right. So
as soon as I lie down.
if you take GABA, if you do PGX, which is, you know, just drink a whole glass, you know, 8-10 ounces of PGX before you drink wine with a meal, it doesn't make you sleepy at all. It's an amazing, amazing thing. So I didn't even used to drink wine. Now I do, because, you know, because what's happening is the alcohol converts right into sugar, and it causes a blood sugar spike. So it's again, it causes all that neural damage, and the brain cells are dying, and we get sleepy. So there are 50% of the male population, they have a particular unique gene which converts alcohol into dopamine. And dopamine gives them that energy.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't get tired. They're energized, and they're uninhibited, which is why it becomes so potently addictive.
Wow.
Another blend is to get that benefit, as a little romantic elixir, as you take PGX and water, then you have some wine and an espresso, and you're ready for romance. That's the all sort of store-bought ingredients that will create a great love elixir, along with some chocolate. But even with the PGX, you can have some chocolate, and it's not going to spike your blood sugar. One of the problems with chocolate is that the good part of it is that chocolate has some ingredient called PEA. And PEA is the brain chemical. Plants make it, and our brain makes it. Our brain makes it when we're feeling loved.
Wow.
And when you eat chocolate, it gives you this, the brain goes, oh, I'm feeling love. Someone's loving me. And that's really a good thing. That helps to lower stress and helps to correct our thinking, because we are lovable and we are loved. And chocolate reminds us of that in a sense. And one of the superfoods I recommend in the book is to get raw cacao, not cocoa. Cocoa is processed cacao. Cacao is the actual source of chocolate. It's a bit bitter.
Mm-hmm.
And the cacao nibs, the little crunchy things. Cacao, chocolate comes from a fruit, which is like a papaya. And you open it up, and it's kind of juicy inside, and there's these little pods. and open up the pods, and these little crunchy black things, and they're bitter. That is the actual source of chocolate. And then they process it and add sugar to it and wax to it and lots of different things.
So but the actual raw pure form.
Yeah, the raw cacao is spectacular for the brain.
Hmm.
It's a super, super antioxidant, as well as rich in PEA. So that's another one of these wonderful superfoods. The next one is maca, which is an aphrodisiac. It's known to restore hormonal function, restore adrenal function. It's really a good one. I've seen it within a few days for women who have hot flashes. Those hot flashes are gone. Women are not sleeping well. Men are not sleeping well with regular maca. All those symptoms of hormonal imbalance go away.
Mm-hmm.
And what is maca, M-A-C-A? It comes from Peru,
mm-hmm.
and there's different grades of it. The darker maca is better, and it grows at higher altitudes. But when it grows at high altitudes, not only does it have spectacular qualities for balancing our hormones, but it repairs the DNA. Stress causes damage. Free radical damage is the result of stress, and that causes damage to the DNA in the cells. And there's something called repair enzymes that actually help the body to repair the DNA. And our body can make these repair enzymes, but often when we're under a lot of stress, our body doesn't do a very good job at it because we're not coping well with stress. But if you eat maca is packed with these repair enzymes. You know, people like to eat pineapple, for example, because it has bromelain, which is this great enzyme for digesting protein.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maca is a kind of like a potato that grows under the ground that is packed with these enzymes to repair the DNA. And that's because it grows at the highest altitude on the planet. And to survive in that low oxygen environment, it has to make all these repair enzymes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another one, quite, you know, available to people. And, you know, it's different dosing for different people, but you get immediate symptomatic relief from it. And what in Canada is a product called Venus Calm. Venus Calm. And it takes together all of these superfoods that I'm talking about and puts them together. And it's, you know, it's kind of like superfoods made simple. There's another one called goji berries.
Mm.
And goji berries have, they help boost the mood. If you go to China and you look at the herbal remedies for depression,
mm-hmm.
The main ingredient is goji berry. The lore is the guys who built the Great Wall of China, it was quite an arduous task to do and very stressful. They live primarily on goji berries, and they grow wild as well. I was first introduced to them when I was in Tibet, up in climbing the mountains and meeting these people who were very old and very healthy and very vital and very strong. And they would drink this little tea. They'd throw a few berries in hot water and drink it, and they would do that five or six times a day. And that's the goji berry. And it is known, lots of research on it has been done, particularly in China. But it also helps to stabilize the blood sugar quite dramatically. It also in the brain, it has the effect of allowing people to see more in the darkness. It's almost like an enlightenment berry because you see more, which means theoretically that you're letting in more light. And we all know on a sunny day how much better we feel.
Mm-hmm.
Light stimulates the pineal gland in the brain, and that's where we make the serotonin. Why sometimes people feel depressed in the wintertime is they're not getting enough stimulation of the pineal gland through light. Well, these little goji berries seem to brighten your mood. I mean, it's quite amazing. So we have, you know, that's a really good one. I recommend like a little handful a day of goji berries. That's what they were eating up in the mountains. And
so if people, would they be able to get a lot of this if they went to a health food store?
Yeah, everything I mentioned is in the health food store. I checked it out when I was in Canada as well. And they also have, as I mentioned, if you just want to get a mix with all of it combined in it, it's called Venus Calm, and there's one for men called Mars Revive. It just has more of the
More of the guy stuff.
More of the guy stuff.
So it helps with the testosterone as well.
Right, right. So the maca is great for testosterone. And my favorite, along with the Venus Mars Revive, I do Mars Revive every day, and I do another supplement, which is only one capsule. And the company is in Vancouver, called The Root of the Matter, and they sell something called Tongkat Ali, T-O-N-G-K-A-T, Ali, A-L-I, and all these things are in my book as well. But Tongkat Ali is, there's several companies that import it, but, you know, you have to find the right quality, you know, for the other Venus Calm and Mars Revive, Natural Factors. No, I know it's not Natural Factors, it's... Preferred Nutrition in Canada carries that. It's in health food stores. And then Tongkat Ali is amazing. You just take two pills, and some men, I can't even take two a day. I can only take one a day, and some days I can't do that. Otherwise, my wife gets too exhausted. I mean, it's really quite amazing. And I'm 58 years old, and since I started doing these superfoods, I had my testosterone levels tested. And they were 25% higher than they were when I was in my 30s.
Wow.
And what's significant about that is in my 40s, they were lower than in my 30s, and that was kind of like the average guy.
Mm-hmm.
For men, the average 40-year-old today, this is a big test, and they have huge amount of volume of data on this because, you know, people go and they get checkups and these things get tested and big studies are done. And the average male in the West today... eating our Western diet, has the testosterone levels at 40 years old, he has the testosterone levels of a 70-year-old man just 30 years ago.
Wow.
So he's like a grandpa just 30 years ago, and I'm like I'm a grandpa, actually, and I got the testosterone levels of a 30-year-old. And that's basically back to what I used to be. So they haven't dropped. They're actually probably what they were in my 20s, although I didn't test that. And if you test the indigenous tribes, men who are 90 years old and 100 years old in an indigenous tribe, their testosterone levels never drop their whole life.
So, in other words, they're the women who are dating them or married to them in their 50s and 60s probably aren't wanting to go if they're getting divorced with younger men. Necessarily, if the hormone levels are high and healthy, like in terms of by eating these everything.
Well, yeah, I mean, like women today, you know, they're getting divorced and they're
going full circle.
Yeah, well, you know, everybody's talking about Al Gore and his wife Tipper. They're married 40 years, and why would they get divorced? I mean, they love each other. They do love each other. They clearly say it, show it. Mm-hmm. They're not lying or anything. And they say it's a very amicable divorce. And what people don't understand it is that they love each other, they care for each other, but there's no juice.
Yeah.
There's no passion. What happens to men as they get to know their wives and they care for their wives and love their wives, then being in the presence of their wife stimulates oxytocin. And oxytocin lowers testosterone. And if he doesn't have a really good testosterone level, then in the presence of his wife, he's just not going to get it up.
Wow.
But in the presence of a woman that he doesn't know, even if he has low testosterone levels, that will stimulate his body to make new testosterone levels, at least temporarily, till he gets to know her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the typical guy with low testosterone. He can only get turned on to a woman he doesn't know. Because if he doesn't know her, it stimulates a lot of testosterone. And that's because, as I mentioned before, one of the ingredients to help make testosterone is dopamine. And anytime there's newness, change, danger, risk, and challenge, and all of that's part of the dating process, it stimulates dopamine. And so even if a guy had low testosterone, it will rise up for a while. But once the comfort of a committed relationship, once it's comfortable, you feel that ease and comfort of oxytocin. Well, women can thrive in that situation, whereas men, unless they have healthy levels of testosterone, they're going to lose their sex drive. And when they lose their sex drive, they lose their focus, their interest, their motivation, the wanting to be together kind of a thing. So you can see, and you can also see I'm just taking something recently in the news, which is because I'm being asked, you know, how could they get a divorce, and because they're, you know, wonderful, loving people. But they, like so many wonderful, loving people I know who've gotten divorced, it's because they ran out of the juice. They don't have the passion. And it used to be that people didn't really care that much. Mm-hmm. But today, women particularly care, and men care, because we're so stressed. One of the most powerful antidotes to coping with stress is being sexually turned on by someone. Because when you're sexually turned on, you're producing huge amounts of these hormones that will lower your stress levels. So in our society, more so than in any other time in history, mm-hmm. romance and sex have become more important.
So they're absolutely vital.
Yeah.
So what would you recommend in terms of a relationship where people have become complacent if they start taking the superfoods, they start practicing yoga, so they start, in other words, starting to take care of themselves first and foremost, and when they turn back to the relationship, and they do give the man the cave time in terms of actually giving the opportunity to watch television and things like that, what would you recommend in terms of taking it to the next level? In your book, you mentioned about Venus talk. I don't know if you want to talk about that.
Oh, I'd love to. There's the three categories in a relationship. Mm-hmm. But before I ever talk about that, I like to mention that still the most important oxytocin stimulator is going to be the woman who does things to make herself happy. And this is women need a lot of permission today to do that, because historically women are all about giving to others, and it's selfish to give to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that was at a time where women were constantly with other women, and they were all giving to each other, so they were all getting the support they needed. They were always getting the support they needed from other women so they could continue giving to each other. But suddenly when women are in a testosterone-stimulating world all day long, then women have to balance all that giving with receiving.
Mm-hmm.
And so what that really means is giving all day long, you deplete yourself of oxytocin. The way you rebuild oxytocin is not by giving, it's by receiving. And so it's a whole new challenge for women to learn how to receive. And if you're not in a relationship, or even if you're in a relationship where your partner doesn't seem to be giving a lot, the first step is to take time and receive from yourself. You can't expect others to be there for you if you can't be there for you.
Mm-hmm.
You can't expect others to prioritize giving to you if you can't first prioritize giving to yourself. So this is just a basic lesson of life that women are, whether they're in a relationship or not, they've got to learn to create that balance, like you were just saying. Doing yoga is one of those things. In my book, I have a list of 101 different types of things. You know, it can be baking cookies and giving them to neighbors. You know, that's a very oxytocin-producing thing. It can be going shopping for sexy lingerie. Actually, going shopping, period, has proven to increase oxytocin levels. Getting a pedicure, getting your hair done. These are all things that have proven to increase oxytocin. Getting a massage, affection. You know, these are... I'm sorry, well, the affection would be in the relationship, the touch.
Mm-hmm.
But a non-sexual touch is actually a bigger expression, a stimulator of rebuilding oxytocin levels in the body.
That makes sense, because it's like, for example, going to the hairdresser where they gently massage your scalp when you're getting your hair washed, where it's basically having somebody take care of you.
That's right. You're being pampered. Mm-hmm. Somebody's taking care of you. And girls' night out, girls' getaway, going places, going on cruises where people are taking care of you. It's like you've been taking care of others. Now it's perfectly permissible for someone to take care of you. And it's their job to do it, and they're happy to do it. Then that becomes this way for women to find balance. So that's the first step, which is to find happiness within ourselves by doing these kind of non-stress activities. Another one is working in the garden. Just being in the garden is a fantastic thing. Touching nature in any way that's pleasing to a woman, walking through nature, being around natural things is very oxytocin stimulating.
Mm-hmm.
So not that a man can't enjoy some of those things to some extent. It's not vital to his essence, for him to cope with life, but for her it is. So when women are finding out how to be happier in this stressful world, it makes a man's job much easier, and his job in relationship becomes clearly defined as his job is not to make her happy. His job is to make her happier, to take her from happy to feeling really, really good, and from good to great. You know, this is where she really needs to look to the man as dessert instead of the main meal in her life. And men need to look, you know, to their lives as the main meal and their relationship as dessert. That's not such a big shift for men. Men sort of already look at it that way. But women, men do have issues around this, which I focus on men just saying, hey, now, you know, don't expect her to always be happy because you're there. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, you don't have the power to make her happy, but you can support her. And then I focus, you know, on the three ways that particularly men can support women in relationships and the three ways women can get support from men that are most powerful.
Which are?
Romance, communication, and helping around the house. But there needs to be a whole new organization of how to get those things. I know we have a limited amount of time left, but you had mentioned the Venus talks.
Yes.
This is a major oxytocin producer, which is you just take 10 minutes, and she says to him, look, this is a Venus talk. I just want to tell you about what happened today or what's going on in my life right now and how it makes me feel and what I'm frustrated about, what my disappointments are, what my concerns are. What I feel embarrassed about. Those four emotions and talk about things to trigger those emotions inside and any other feelings as well, but particularly bringing those up. And he just listens. Your job is just to listen. You don't have to say anything, fix anything, do anything about it. You have to change in any way. Really just look my direction and don't interrupt. And if she shares those kind of feelings, it's like he's able to go deeper inside of her. And he will experience a relaxation. She will experience a relaxation that she's never felt before. And I do this with women in groups, with their partners, and with men. And they just always say, wow, I just never had somebody look at me and not interrupt me or not be thinking about what I should do and what's wrong with that, how I should feel, but feeling safe. And that feeling of safety, it's the bonding that takes place when oxytocin levels are being generated. Whenever you're feeling safe and you can trust. It's not about fixing anything. It's about just having someone know what you're going through so you're not feeling alone. And having that experience and knowing that you can look forward to that experience several times a week, suddenly your life is permeated with much higher levels of oxytocin. Because oxytocin is more of a response that you have in your body when you anticipate getting support as opposed to the actual act of getting support. So looking forward to that. And knowing that he knows who you are and he's there for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other big area of super oxytocin.
Super oxytocin. I like the sound of that.
Yeah, and that's romance.
Hmm.
And so women typically see in a movie or something, some moment in a movie where the man knows what the woman wants and she doesn't have to ask for it and he does it and he surprises her and it's just what she wanted, just what she's looking for. And everybody's like, ooh, he's so wonderful, so romantic, that, you know, he knew and he did. Well, realistically, that's going to happen maybe once or twice a year.
As women, and I say this just as a woman, a lot of times we don't always know what we want. And our emotions change so quickly. Sometimes what I want changes from moment to moment. So it's hard for guys sometimes.
It's completely hard for guys. It's totally unrealistic. And there's no way she's going to have regular romance if it's dependent upon him knowing what she wants. At the same time, as you mentioned, it's hard for women to know what they want. And particularly what makes it hard is she's always looking, you know, she says, okay, what could we do that I would like to do that he would also like to do? And the secret of this is understanding for men, he's happy to create a date for you that he doesn't even want to do, but he wants to do it if it makes her happy. And it's kind of like he'll go off to war and fight the battle if it's going to save her life. That's a big testosterone producer.
I was just going to say that kicks in him as an emergency man then.
That's right. That's right. And that's also what romance is about, is when a man puts his jacket down and she walks over it. You know, it's him making the sacrifice for her, so to speak. So if she just says to him, this is what, you know, it's like learning to create practical romance. Is she lets him know, next week, this is what I'd like to do. I know you're not really into that. But I'll be so much happier if you just take me and don't complain, but have a good time. And that's what he has to learn to do. He has to not whine and complain like, oh, this is so boring. It won't be boring if he knows he's doing it for her. And if she knows he's doing it for her, and if she appreciates him, and she makes a point of enjoying it, so he knows that he gets credit for it. Mm-hmm. So that's just like one of many, many tips that I talk about in the book,
too. You've got some fantastic tips, and quite frankly, even the fact, which I think everybody should have a copy of this book, because A, being able to be able to go shopping and say, actually, there's research that supports that it's going to make me happy.
Yeah, guilt-free
really good.
Shopping.
And for men, where it's like, hey, I can watch television and it's totally okay.
Right, right.
And it's actually going to make me feel better, which hence makes us better.
No doubt about it.
Even though there's way more in there, I know that.
Oh, yeah, there's so much more. How to put it into practice. But that's what the book's about. It takes, it takes time. It takes practice.
Mm-hmm. So what's next for you?
Well, I think, I'm definitely, the book has just come out, mm-hmm. and I'm traveling around promoting the book and so forth. And also what's fun is that Summit Pictures just bought the rights for Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. So,
oh, wow.
They'll be coming out with that next Valentine's Day, I think, in the year 2012, Valentine's Day.
Congratulations.
So that will be a whole resurgence of these Mars-Venus ideas. It'll be quite fun.
And that'll be really great, because I think it's so important to talk about relationships. It's
key. Absolutely.
Very, very key. John, thank you so much for being on the show. It's been absolutely fantastic.
Well, it's been a real pleasure, and I want people to know that for convenience, many of these things I talked about are also at my website if people want to get reminded of or they want
Let's
to get it there.
Let's plug your website. What is your website?
It's MarsVenus.com.
MarsVenus.com.
And my daughter as well has a column called Ask Lauren, and it's really good for dating.
Oh, that's fantastic. And especially with a city like Vancouver, everybody keeps complaining that there's not enough guys to date. So, which on that note, I think there's a lot of great people to date. It's just a matter of just being open to the possibility.
I'm right with you there.
And doing the work on yourself, as you said, it starts off by being healthy and taken care of. And I had one last really quick question before we wrap for the hour, if I could, which was in regards to with birth control, because there's a lot of women who are on different types of hormonal birth controls, from everything from the pill to the ring, etc. And if you'd recommend in terms of if they bought a copy of your book and took it to, say, a naturopath and just asked, based on the medication that I'm on, what would you recommend just to get the right balance so it's not setting things totally off kilter?
Well, I encourage women to use condoms. When you're taking birth control, you're taking hormones, and mm-hmm. so many of the women's hormonal problems today as they get older is because they're taking hormones. Mm. When you take a hormone, your body stops making that hormone. And parts of your body are going to atrophy. I have a whole big, long, it was a short, big question you just asked, but I'm not in the field of encouraging women. Mm-hmm. But if you are going to take birth control pills, what's important is any of the superfoods I talked about will constantly help your body to cope with the imbalances that hormones cause.
I love that. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio 101.9 FM on CITR. And up next is Hans von Claus's Misery Hour. He is a very, very sexy man to be miserable with. And he's going to be guiding you into the wee hours with his ambient music and his super hot voice. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio. And we will be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. Thanks for listening.